How you doing? It's Jaquetta Williams. It's time for your next edition of Your Health Connection. You know, this time we are talking about cancer, and we talk about cancer quite often on the show, but this time we're talking about cancer in young adults. We're talking about people who are around the age of 17, 18, 19, 20, and 21. Students who are in high school, or students who could be right here at Clark Atlanta University. I know it's not something that you hear very often. However, as times have changed, we're hearing more and more stories about it. And so we wanted to bring this subject matter to you. And of course, if you have questions, we want to be able to answer your questions. I'm going to give you the number, 404-880-9255. Again, 404-880-9255. Of course, we are of the social media age, so you can tweet us your questions at CCRTD or Jaquetta W. That's J-A-Q-U-I-T-T-A-W. Okay, so let me introduce you to the people who are on our show today. One of them you've been introduced to before. His name is Ezell Blues. He is a prostate cancer survivor. But this time, we're talking to his son. His son's name is Daniel Blues. He was diagnosed with leukemia when he was 14 years old. Now he's 19 years old. And young ladies in college, I'm going to tweet a picture of Daniel. He's a cutie patootie, so you can see what he looks like. I'm in the room with a bunch of men, and I like it like that. We have another guest. His name is Dr. John Bersagel. He is the assistant professor of pediatrics and hematology and oncology at Emory University and the Aflac Cancer Center. Thank you so much, gentlemen, for being here with me. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, so let's start with you, Daniel, if you don't mind, because you're now 19 years old. You said you've had three occurrences with your leukemia coming back, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
So let's go back to when you were 14 years old. What was happening to you back then to where you kind of started to realize something wasn't right?
Because I was one of those real active kids, was always out. No, I was one of the kids who stayed at the house, was always somewhere out and about. And then it got to the point where I couldn't function like I want to. I would be walking for like 2 or 3 minutes and then be completely just exhausted. And no, that was really weird for me. So after a while, it didn't get any better, and eventually I fainted. And I've never fainted before, so one night I was at my mom's house, and I said I probably need to go to Grady or something. And my mom and dad took me to Grady, and when I walked in, my hands were, you know, as white as a piece of like tissue paper or something. Mm-hmm. And they told me that I could be anemic and could definitely have leukemia. And then they called Children's Healthcare to come pick me up, and I've been with them ever since.
So when your hands were white as sheets, and they told you that, okay, you could have leukemia, mm-hmm. were you nervous? Did you immediately know what that was?
I mean, I was one of those people who were, I guess, in the mindset that nothing like that would ever happen to me. So when I did get the information that I did have cancer, and it hit me that hard, I was more like, okay, I got cancer. Okay, now what are we gonna do about it?
So you didn't immediately think I'm going to die?
No.
Okay. And so when you heard the story about what you needed to do and you had to go through the treatment, what was that like for you?
The hardest part I would have to say was the medicine that I had to take orally, because I can't swallow pills at all. And that's weird, because like my mom can swallow pills fine, but she can't swallow like apple pills and stuff. Mm-hmm. But I can eat anything and swallow it, but I can't swallow pills. I guess it's a mind of a matter thing. Mm-hmm. But besides that, everything else has been, once it becomes like a habit or something, it becomes easier to deal with. Mm-hmm. So I mean, at first it was rough, because you know, the biggest thing was probably losing my hair. Mm-hmm. Because I lost my hair at least seven times over the last 5 years, mm-hmm. or at least 6 years this year. It's been an uphill battle, but I've been dealing with it pretty good. I would like to think so.
So you also have met other people who are like you, other students who are like you who had leukemia. So you felt like you had a kind of like a little village, a family of people, mm-hmm. who understood what you were going to. Did that make it easier?
Yes. I'm actually involved with a program called Camp Sunshine. And what it is a program for people or kids with cancer. And every year, you know, they take us out and just to the mountains. And for a whole week, you're just surrounded by people who are just like you and know exactly what you're dealing with. And they're not judging you by what's going on. Mm-hmm. You know, that if you tell them, like, I saw kids there with missing limbs and stuff. And, you know, it looked at them no different than as I look at myself.
Mm-hmm.
And so it definitely felt good to be surrounded by people who couldn't relate to you.
So there are people who will hopefully listen to the show or listening right now who might be close to your age, 19, and are in college.
Mm.
So how do you speak to that sector of people? Because much like you didn't think anything like that can happen to you, there are people who are walking around this college campus who may think the same thing.
Mm.
And how do you deal with that? What advice would you give them?
I mean, just be cautious of your health. Like, Don't take the smallest thing lightly, like, because you never know. Because, like I said, I thought I was just getting tired or being lazy, and come to find it that I had no oxygen getting my brain in, I had no blood being produced in my body. And if I would have went to sleep that night, they told me I wouldn't have woke up.
So they're saying you could have died.
Yeah.
Were you alarmed by hearing that?
Yeah, definitely. Because, you know, having the thought of not being here the next day, yeah, that's tough. But, you know. Keep going.
But you're still here. Yeah. Let's bring Dad back in. Ezell, I know that when we talked to you a while back, you mentioned how you felt, you know, badly because you thought your son was just being lazy. Come to find out he had cancer, knowing that you have dealt with cancer. And now knowing that he's gone through his third treatment, he's doing okay now. What can you say as a parent watching your child go through something like this, particularly students who are of college age, too?
Well, Daniel was first diagnosed with it, I felt bad because I looked at him as being an active child, and all of a sudden he became inactive. And not knowing the symptoms of leukemia, and then finding out that he did have leukemia, I felt really bad that I didn't know what was happening to him. That first night in the hospital, we had to give him 32 ounces of blood. I mean, his body was missing
a lot of blood.
His body was missing that kind of blood. And actually, I had an opportunity 3 weeks ago here at Clark Atlanta to talk to some students from the NAACP about my experience. And I think young folks are gathering a mindset. These young folks were interested. Most of them were women sitting in the class, in the classroom. But they were more interested in finding out for their fathers and their uncles and their brothers and their nephews. This early detection is very, very important. You know, there was no early detection with Daniel because I didn't know what the symptoms were. But I did have an early detection for myself, and it's harder. It was easier for me to go through what I went through, but it was harder for me to go through what he went through.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, literally for the first 3 years, being in that hospital room, probably about 2 to 3 weeks every month, in and out in the hospital, it was hard. I never showed it around him because I wanted to always maintain a positive. But behind closed doors, I was hurting.
It was challenging, I can only imagine.
It was definitely challenging.
Doctor, we're going to bring you into this conversation right now. You've been practicing for more than 20 years. We were talking before we started the program, and you were saying how it's easier to treat things like leukemia, which is what Daniel had, when children are early on in age. But by 10 years old, it becomes tougher. Can you talk about that again, please?
Yes. We've had good treatments for leukemia for quite some time, and they keep getting better. But we haven't been able to overcome that barrier. The cure rates are over 90% for children under the age of 10. But once you get over the age of 10, and with each year after that, the chance of cure with the exact same treatments gets worse and worse.
Why is that, doctor? Do you have an idea as to why?
We don't completely understand. It's probably has to do with the biology of the leukemias. We don't understand enough about them, and they really are slightly different when you're older than when you're younger. But we don't have adequate technology to distinguish the two.
One of the things that made this show really important to me was because when I was diagnosed with breast cancer, I was in my early to mid-30s, which is relatively young. But I have met a lot of cancer survivors who were in their 20s, some who were in their teens. So this was important because this audience, Clark Atlanta, has, of course, abundance of young people. With your practice, you said you've seen children who are 17, 19, just run the gamut. Is this rare still, or are you seeing more?
No, it depends on your point of view. If you're going to get cancer at this age when you're a college student, leukemia is by far one of the more common cancers that you can get, leukemias and lymphomas.
Why is that?
Leukemia and lymphoma arise in your immune system, and your immune system is active all through your life. So that's a cancer which should occur all through your life. Other cancers usually develop at a time when a tissue is very active. When your bones are growing as a child, you can get bone cancer. In a woman, breast cancer doesn't occur until they've had many years of reproductive potential and the hormone stimulation that goes along with it. So there are biological reasons for this.
So what do we say to college students who, you know, feel like, oh, this couldn't happen to me, or I don't think this is, you know, that's just maybe Daniel's case, but it's not my case.
Yeah. Unfortunately, cancer can happen to anyone, and especially in young people. It's not because of anything they did. It's not because of anything their parents did or neglected to do. It's just something that happens. It's part of a biological process that goes haywire. And you have to listen to your body. If something's not right, you need to get it checked out. You know, if it goes away overnight, it's probably not serious. But if it lasts for a few days, you need to go to the student health center or your doctor and find out what it is.
Now, I know you didn't treat Daniel, but hearing his story and hearing some of his symptoms, would you estimate that he probably was dealing with this for quite some time before the onset of symptoms, or can it be just immediate?
In most cases with leukemia, it comes on pretty quickly.
Quickly? Within a month or a couple of weeks?
Typically within a month.
Wow.
I don't know if that was Daniel's experience or not.
It was.
I think also his doctor misdiagnosed.
That happens very frequently. And I don't like to say misdiagnosed, because I'm glad I'm not in the trenches trying to diagnose people. I see them after they've been diagnosed. But the symptoms are very similar to ordinary illnesses.
Right. Which is
And the average teenager who has fatigue and says he's tired and can't get out of bed, you'd say they have mono. That's 100 times more common than leukemia. Okay. And that's frequently it's not a misdiagnosis. You got to start with what's most common and work your way down the list.
So if I'm a parent, for parents who are listening right now, is there any, there's other than being tired, because like you said, is there anything else that I should be paying attention to?
Well, beyond that, after when your color starts to change and you get very pale, that's definitely a potential spinal leukemia.
We're talking about black people. So
right.
So when you say the insides of my hands, whites of my hands.
Palms of your hands and the whites of your eyes are the places where you can still see it.
Okay. So since Daniel has had three occurrences, what would his journey be like moving forward? Will this be something he will have to be checked from now until a certain age, or?
We generally follow people until they turn 21 in our pediatric practice, but then we make arrangements for an adult provider. There's survivor clinics now, which are a very useful resource for someone like Daniel when he gets older, because they're specialists not only in monitoring for the cancer to come back, but also monitoring for problems that can occur because of the treatments that you've been through.
I know this is probably a subject that you guys don't hear very often. Again, the number is 404-880-9255 if you have a question. Again, 404-880-9255, or you can tweet your question at CCRTD or Jaquetta W. Doctor, let me ask you another question. You mentioned leukemia, but you also mentioned some other cancers. You mentioned thyroid cancer, that you're starting to see more of that. Talk about that.
Thyroid cancer is relatively common in young adults.
Why?
I don't know.
Okay.
I wish I did.
Okay.
But it's rare before your teenage years, but once you start to become a young adult, that's one of the more common cancers. It can present either as a mass in the neck, which is where your thyroid is, but more commonly it can present with thyroid symptoms. Your thyroid hormones may overact, which makes you lose weight. Or can become underactive and you feel cold all the time and gain weight when you should not be gaining weight because you're not eating too much food.
I'm going to pause that for a minute. We have a question from Leonard in Dallas, Georgia. We're going to pick that back up, Doctor. Leonard, are you there?
Yes. How are you?
Good. How are you? What's your question?
Well, my question is, I believe this is the doctor that serviced my daughter who just had aplastic anemia. Does the doctor understand what that is? He knows what that is?
Yes.
Yeah. That's almost the same symptoms as the leukemia, but they don't have as much. Has there been more research to understand more about this disease?
Unfortunately, aplastic anemia is far more rare than leukemia. And you're quite right. We don't have as good an understanding of that as we do of leukemia. And the symptoms are identical, so that often when we first see a patient in the emergency room, we can't tell right off the bat whether it's aplastic anemia or leukemia. And that it usually takes us a day or 2 days before we can give the parents and the patient a final diagnosis.
Thank you so much, Leonard.
Did you ever work at Scottish Rite, Doctor?
Yes.
Okay, well, maybe he's your doctor, Leonard. Thank you so much for calling. We appreciate it. Let me ask you this, Doctor, since we're talking about, we were on the subject of thyroid cancer. What, as a parent or as a young adult, what do I need to be looking out for in the event that this is, other than gaining weight, losing weight? Because, again, those are symptoms that kind of naturally happen with all of us.
Right.
Is there anything else that's a little bit more acute or something that I should...
Swelling in the neck, mm-hmm. persistently enlarged lymph nodes in the neck, those really are the main symptoms.
Okay.
It's not that easy. It's one of the things that a doctor, a family doctor, will check with your annual checkup. You notice how they check the front of the neck very mm-hmm. carefully, because if you don't look for it, it could get missed.
Doctor, can you talk about, because we've heard from Ezell about how difficult this was as a parent. Can you talk about how difficult that is?
It's something I hear all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's extremely hard for a parent. I hear also it's even harder for grandparents. By the time you're a grandparent, you probably have friends and relatives your own age who have had cancer, and the last thing you expect is for your grandchildren to have cancer. And it really just completely turns your world upside down.
Mm-hmm.
Suddenly anything that might have been important before doesn't seem very important
anymore.
Exactly. And the amount of time that it takes to go through the treatment, it's I'm not sure what your treatment was like. I know it was intense. But the children with leukemia are often in the hospital for weeks or months at a time. And once they get out of the hospital, they're going back and forth to the clinic every week and sometimes more than once a week. And
absolutely.
We tell them right from the get-go, pack a suitcase and put it in your trunk, because you don't know when you're coming back to the hospital.
My goodness. Ezell, let me bring you back into this. And don't forget, 404-880-9255. Again, 404-880-9255. Or you can tweet at CCRTD. Because you're a parent and you've gone through your own personal battles, what is life like now between you and your son, with him being 19 years old? Of course, you know, he is in the beginning stages of his young life, but knowing that his new normal will always be checks and pokes and prods.
Well, one thing that happened to Daniel when he first got diagnosed with the leukemia, he also developed for 1 week. What was it, Daniel?
Diabetic symptoms.
Diabetic symptoms.
Oh, my.
So for a week, just all kinds of things was thrown at. And I think maybe in a four-year period, I might have missed one appointment with him.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's very, very important, especially for men and families, to be there.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted me there. Every time something happened, his mom would call me, "We're on our way to the hospital. We're on our way to the hospital." So that was important for him
mm-hmm.
and for me
mm-hmm.
To be there. There were shots that he was giving, peg shots that he was giving, 3 shots at one time. And I think the pain that he took, I don't think I could have taken it.
Mm-hmm.
But I was there for each and every moment, each and every second, which is very, very important. Our relationship, mm-hmm. we had a good relationship before then. We have needed a better relationship because of that.
Daniel, talk about what your life is like now.
I'm actually getting ready to go to Georgia State next month, so I'm getting ready to start college. I've been working. I got certified to do taxes.
Get out of here.
Yeah, I know how to design websites. I know how to do WordPress websites.
You work for Chick-fil-A.
Work for Chick-fil-A.
Well, let me ask this. Did you decide on your college? Did you want to stay closer to home because of your wanting to have to be familiar with your doctors and your doctors knowing your case already? Or
I mean, the college decision wasn't based on my health. Like, I think I probably would have gone anywhere, still been okay with whatever doctors I was given. I think the choice is more of the fact that I did want to stay in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So when you go to college now, is that something that you kind of tell your friends? Like, let's just say if you came to a college like this one, would you immediately tell people about your condition or in case something happened?
I mean, I don't mind talking about it. I try not to. Every now and then I might bring it up because sometimes I might be doing something with somebody and I always can't do exactly what whoever they're doing. I might like, hey,
you
I can't
break.
Do it. Yeah, I'm tired. Mm-hmm. You know, can't really do it like that. But
meaning like sports, football, basketball, baseball. Yeah. That's not something that you would be.
I still play them, but I can't play them to the real physical point because I still have my port in my chest, and that's a real hazard when doing activities. But
let's talk about that port in your chest for people who don't know what that is. What is a port in your chest?
It's about the size of maybe about a quarter. And in the center of it is a rubber pad, and from the actual port itself is a cord that goes across my chest, and I think is it the right atrium of my heart.
Tip of it ends in your heart.
Yeah, and from then they put the medicine in through there, and it pumps throughout my body.
Okay, and that will be there for. It's been there?
Yeah, it's been there. I'm not exactly sure when the takeout time is, but hopefully it's soon.
Okay, so I'm going to get in your personal life just a little bit.
Okay.
Because, of course, you know, dating and girls. So how do you approach that topic with a young lady?
That's not something I lead with because my friends joke with me all the time, like, oh yeah, cancer. I would use that all the time to try to pull a girl.
Oh my goodness.
just hit them with the, oh yeah, I had cancer. You know, come take care of me or something like that. But I was like, that's a little cheesy. And I don't normally come straight out with it, but if I do happen to mention to them, you know, that's for them to know. And just so they. Because people tend to maybe treat you a certain way.
Right.
And then I tell people, I was like, no, don't treat, just because I have, or what happened to me, don't treat me indifferent because I don't feel any different.
Right.
One conversation we had with his doctor, he was very honest with him, you know, about the sexual activity. That
See, I didn't say that, but okay, go ahead, Dad.
Don't mess me up, man.
Go ahead, Dad.
That was very important. That protection was used
because
of the medicine that's in his body, and if he happens to get a woman, you want to say that is pregnant, that something could be wrong with the baby because of the medicine that's in his body. So that was very important for us to know.
Wow, that's a sexy conversation. All right, I'm going to give you the number one more time, 404-880-9255. Or tweet your questions at CCRTD or Jaquetta W. We're going to take a slight break so we can gather ourselves since we've been talking about some things that maybe made you blush, because it certainly made me blush. We're coming right back.